Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. We're down at Walt Disney World right now, getting ready to sail on the Disney Fantasy this Saturday for the Be Our Guest podcast cruise. But first, Pam and I are standing by to answer your listener questions, including a question about a possible Taste of menu at Disney Springs. So hear what we have to say about that. First, this show is obviously brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, as I glance down to my iPhone 7 Plus, while I'm down at Walt Disney World, I see a deuce. 2 days to go, 2 full days until we get on the Disney Fantasy this Saturday for the podcast cruise. You can do the same. Get excited for your next Disney adventure with great pictures. You get to customize the text and the colors and more. Every time you place a call, check your texts, or post to social media, it's right there where you are. Drop by virtualmickey.com today to download Days to Go WDW.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1193 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. And of course, it is a happy Wednesday because I am down at Walt Disney World. So make sure you follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. I've probably put out about 17,000 pictures by now, and I've only been there a couple days already. I do that for Pam's mom. She is she likes it when I tweet and Instagram, so
she's
I do that
fan.
For her.
She likes it when I'm in your
That's what we'll do. We're down there together. We'll be taking a lot of pictures together. We'll be on the same boat for 7 days here in a few days. So anyway, today we're getting ahead a little bit here on the podcast so we don't leave you hanging while we are out of town. So joining me today to answer your listener questions, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's going on, Pam?
Happy Wednesday. We're in Walt Disney World, so we're getting ready for 4th of July festivities. Looking forward to that.
Exactly. I love 4th of July at Epcot. I mean, I know you can go other places. You can go to the studios. You can go to the Magic Kingdom. And I know we tell people do Magic Kingdom on the 3rd, Epcot on the 4th. It's a pretty good strategy, but I won't be there on the 3rd this time, so... We're laying. Actually, you know what? I didn't think about this. We're flying in at about the time of the fireworks. We might see the 4th of July fireworks at the Magic Kingdom when we're landing.
That would be really cool.
We land at 10:55 Eastern, so there's a chance. Were they like 10? I didn't think about that. Nice.
I honestly don't know. That's our strategy, though, to go the 3rd to Magic Kingdom, 4th to Epcot. So
yeah,
see them all.
So if you are at Epcot on the 4th, we'll be back in World Showcase somewhere. So just watch Instagram and Twitter and swing by and say hey. But you know what? Somebody already said hey in the listener questions. It's Connor. He has a question for us. Says, Mike, we're going on a trip in August of 2017. We're doing a day at Disney Springs and want to do some of the walk-up windows for lunch. We know that Homecoming, and he left off the E or the G and put an apostrophe, so well done. Morimoto and Frontera have them offering a Taste of menu. What is your experience with these? Are there more of these? Thanks in advance. Connor's up in Minnesota. All right, so Pam, I know now I haven't done these. I've only, sat down for full meals. But I know Morimoto's really, I see that every time, that little walk-up window. How many of these locations do have that, and do you have any experience with that?
So I haven't done any of the walk-up windows, which are kind of more of the quick service locations for those larger table service spots. But in addition to the ones that you mentioned, I'm also going to throw out, the poutine one and also the BB sausage one. I mean, those are more, I wouldn't call them a quick service location because they really don't have any tables or indoor space to sit at. You just kind of walk up to the booth and get that stuff. But yeah, I think that's the kind of appeal for that. I didn't know that Homecoming actually did. I know that they had the Shine Bar, but I did not know that they had that, honestly. And I've eaten there a few times. So Not sure about that one, but I know that Morimoto's has one. And that's a great location because the food coming out of there is fantastic. So I don't care whether you're sitting down and getting it brought to you or you're rolling up to some kind of outside location. I think it's going to be great either way.
Well, and I think Disney Springs really lends itself to doing something like this, where you snack your way around the area you are, whether it's Centertown or whatever it's called, or grabbing something to eat, walking through the West Side and doing some shopping.
Right.
I think that's the way to go because there's so many options that if you just focus on like one large meal with your app, your entree and your dessert, you're only getting one experience. Where I think Connor's going the right way and sampling his way around. But like you said, you not only have these walk-up windows like at Morimoto's, which I've heard great things about, but like you said, you have the poutine cart, you have the polite pig, you have those kind of things that, you do enough of those and you have lunch already. It's crazy.
It's absolutely true. And then Raglan Road has one too at Cooks of Dublin. I mean, it's kind of, it kind of is a quick service location and it kind of counts of that. And it doesn't have exactly the same food that's offered at the table service, but they have some great fish and chips there. I know that they have the deep fried candy bar. They did at one time. That's where you can get that at Cooks of Dublin. So check out that location too. And I would consider, any of the quick service locations, but I would absolutely consider in particular the bakery location. Because hello sprinkles, you got to find a way to end your meal there after you've done kind of a walk-up thing like that, so don't miss that.
The only place I've had deep fried candy bars and deep fried Oreos around here in Missouri, we have them at rodeos and like the fairs, the county fairs and stuff in the fall. So good So good. Anyway, next question comes from Tracy. She says, hi, Mike and BOGP Podcast. In November, I'm running the Fall Feast 5K and cheering on my best friend as she runs the Wine and Dine Half. This is our first Run Disney weekend, and I'm wondering if you all have tips for new cheer squad folks. I'm especially concerned and haven't seen much online about how to move around the course to cheer her on at multiple points during the race. Thanks. All right, Tracy, good luck on your first 5K. And I'm sure your friend is going to have a great time at the Wine and Dine Half Marathon in November. Pam, you are an expert. So what do you say? Because I usually run the races, but there is a lot of effort that goes into cheering for these races because movement is not easy during the races.
It's not. And it's really even not as easy as it used to be. For most of the races, that's going to be a challenge. And I would say pick the preferred location that you want to see them at and make that your priority because it is really challenging. For some of the longer races, I would really say like even the half marathon doesn't lend itself well to seeing in multiple places. The full marathon, you may be able to do it. And we typically, what we do is see you guys at the TTC in the morning because that's at mile like 2, I believe, Mike, between mile 2 and 3.
For the, on that course, it's coming up on mile 4, I think.
Okay. All right. So we see you there at the TTC and then we make our way over to kind of the Yacht Club Beach Club area or the Epcot area. It just depends in there. And that's where you are able to do it. And way back before, we used to be able to catch you at a few different spots besides those two, but they have made it very challenging to do that at this point. And so that's our best bet, which really kind of leaves, a big section in the middle where you don't see anyone in particular that you know, but there's hardly any way around that because you're kind of, running on the wide open stretches of roads where they wouldn't let us be anyways. So they're very protective of the guests and the runners. And because of that, they really limit transportation and getting you from place to place.
And I think it's one of those things that until you see how a Run Disney race looks and feels, you don't really understand why you can't see your runner at, five or six different places. Because the thing is, the volume of runners, you're talking for most races, 15,000 or more runners out on the course. Like you said, many stretches of road have to be closed both ways because you have runners coming out and coming in, like on Osceola Parkway. And so there's no way to have big buses really running on those roads while the runners are out there for safety. So you're right. Basically, you have to kind of say, I'm not going to see him multiple times. Where is going to be the most beneficial either to you as the spectator to see your guest or your friend or to see where they need you? You know, like in the full marathon, maybe mile 17 is a good place to see your friend at Wide World of Sports if you can get yourself there, because that's where marathoners tend to hit the wall. Maybe mile 10 and a half marathon for your friend, you know, but I know a lot of people want to see the finish, but I'll be honest, you know, it's very rare for your loved ones to see at the finish unless they just go to the finish line and that's it. You know, if you want to see the finish, you basically got to say, that's where we're going to see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I've learned over the years.
It's challenging. It really is challenging. So.
All right. Good luck on that race. Next is Ashley. Hi there, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Planning a trip in October, the 10th to the 15th. With your help, I have set up a great schedule. I have three questions. First, I have an Ohana reservation one night at 5 p.m. I want to get into Trader Sam's when they open to experience a full hour there before we head upstairs to eat our body weight in food. Good call. What time do you recommend we arrive at Trader Sam's to get in at the 4 p.m. opening with no wait? Now, let me ask you this, Pam, because we were there like right after it opened and we kind of lined up. Right. But we got in right away. I mean, this was a week after it opened. What's the crowds like lately? I haven't heard.
The times that we've been able to walk in. So, of course, as soon as I say that, it will change and you won't be able to do that. But honestly, we've been able to go the past few times. We've been able to walk right in without any issue at all. So I haven't had that much of an issue. What you might want to do is, here's what I would do. Go ahead and plan on being there maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes earlier. And if you don't need to line up, and you'll know because there'll be a line if you mm-hmm. need to line up, do some shopping, explore the resort a little bit, just take in the Polynesian because it's beautiful, and then plan on going there right afterwards.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, probably 3:30. I mean, you know, because just hang out, rest for a few minutes, and then get in. You'll have a good time. I don't think you have any issues there. Yeah. All right, she says, second, would you recommend be our guest for breakfast or lunch? Actually, we recommend listening to the podcast for any meal. Also, light snacks.
Right.
And
drinks.
Exactly, and drinks. It sounds better. Anyway, no, I think she might be talking about the restaurant. She says, we'll be on the dining plan, and I was surprised to see breakfast is more expensive. I figure that will give us the most bang for our buck, but is it worth it? Great question here. Just because breakfast is more expensive than lunch and she's on the dining plan, does that necessarily mean she needs to go for breakfast to get the value of the dining plan? It's that age-old question.
I don't think so. I mean, I will tell you, I think breakfast is fine. I really enjoyed the breakfast there. I do think it's a little pricey for a quick service breakfast, but I thought it was fine. I enjoy lunch, I think, a little more. And the reason is because I'm typically going to be there. I feel like when I'm eating breakfast there, I'm kind of wasting valuable times in the parks where it's not very crowded. And by lunchtime, we need a break of some sort. So that is why we typically choose lunch there. I also like the lunch choices. There's a couple things that I really like. And I think you can get a good value there, too, in terms of lunch. Make sure you check out the menus. But the other reason why we typically eat their lunch as opposed to breakfast is we can grab breakfast like in our room or at our food court really inexpensively. So for me, that's something easy peasy to do. And then I'll just go ahead and save that quick service credit for lunch. But it's a good value no matter what meal you eat there. So.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would go lunch because I think you're going to appreciate it more because you can just, like I said, I want to get the day started. I want to grab something and go I'll do like one fancy, unless that's your old fancy breakfast. You know, we usually do one a trip, you know, one nice breakfast. That if that's it, then go for it. But I'd say lunch probably. All right, last question. What are your crowd expectations for those days? Again, she's talking October 10th to the 15th. It is Columbus Day weekend, and I'm thinking the crowds may be heavier. Thanks for all you guys do. Ashley's up in New Jersey. All right, Pam, I know that I've never been down for Columbus Day weekend because I used to teach back in the day, long time ago, you know, way back, you know, lifetimes ago. Couldn't go during that time, but, you know, I have followed on social media and I've noticed that those 3-day weekends, now this one is a special one because it falls during the Food and Wine Festival, which is extremely popular, gets more popular every year. Crowd's going to be heavy, correct? I mean, they're going to be pretty, pretty heavy.
They are. They're going to be heavier. I think it's, we get the question about when is the best time to visit? When are there low crowds? When you find this period with really low crowds, let us know because, you know, there's going to be at least one or two days on no matter when you're there that are going to be more challenging than others. But In the fall, especially what, like Mike said, during Food and Wine and during any 3-day weekend, that it's going to be more crowded. But no matter what, the great thing about FastPass Plus is, and I think this is the hugest plus in terms of that, is that you can secure reservations for 3 attractions every day. So right there, fill in with some shows, fill in with some attractions that you don't need FastPass Plus for. That's an awesome thing to do. In addition, because if you get there early, no matter when you're there, whether you're there on Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, regardless, if you're there when park opens, you're still going to experience a couple hours of very low crowds where you won't need those FastPass Pluses. So save them for later in the day. Don't worry about the crowds. Just go with the expectation that you know it's going to be busy. You won't be able to walk on to some of your favorite attractions because there'll probably be a line, especially later in the day. But do the best you can. Don't sweat the small stuff and you'll have a great time.
Totally agree. That's it. I mean, you just have to think ahead. Think about what everybody else is going to do. They're going to still want to be on vacation, sleep in, get there while they're sleeping. Because, you know, that is just the golden rule. It's always been, you know, we've been saying that ever since the podcast started almost 10 years ago. You get there early. You get that bonus time. And then when the crowds get heavy, you just do what you can. You know, but yep. That's where you schedule those fast passes. And then, you know, because most people, if you don't have a sound fast pass strategy, and I truly believe that most people that go there don't. You know, you're again, get up early, you're ahead of the crowd. Good fast passes, like using them in the mid-afternoon when everybody else is standing in these huge lines, boom, you're ahead, and then, you know, just make wise choices, because that's when you go and see the Tiki Room, or you go and see the Carousel of Progress, or ride the TTA, stuff like that.
Yep.
All right, let's get a bonus question in here, since we are live on Facebook, from my good friend Kathy, who's listened to the podcast for a long time now. See if I can read this. It's kind of small, but it says, staying at Saratoga Springs with 5 and 2-year-olds, can you recommend which area of the resort has the best pool and pool area for those kids? For 5 and 2, Pam, Saratoga Springs, is there a certain area of that resort? Because it's huge. You know, where do they want to be for the pool?
There is, and it is a huge pool. I really like the main pool, but there's not a lot of locations that are that close to the main pool. There's also the paddock area, which kind of has a pool that's themed. It has a water play area. It's themed after a horse racing kind of theme. And that's a cool area to stay as well. But I love, you know, that's the great thing about Disney resorts. I think that there are, in terms of pools, pools that you don't really see where you're, you know, that you don't really see at other resorts or places like that. So that's really cool. So basically, I just pulled up a map here, so I was just looking for that. There are, looks like 5 main areas of Saratoga. So you have the Grandstand, you have the Springs, and that's going to be where the main pool is. You have Congress Park, which is going to be your closest area probably for the most part to the main pool, although parts of the paddock also are there as well. And then you also have the carousel, which is kind of toward the main entrance there. So here's what I would do, and this is what I advise to guests. Rather than requesting an actual section of the resort or a room, I say you tell them what you're looking for. So you tell them, hey, I'd like to be by the main pool. And then, or I'd like to be near the food courts or whatever. I think sometimes in trying to be like, oh, I'm going to try to request this section of the resort in hopes of getting this. Sometimes you kind of do yourself a disservice. Tell the resort what you're looking for, that you want to be by the main pool, and then they'll do your best. They'll do their best to accommodate that. So.
Good stuff. And I love that our community is just awesome, because we are broadcasting live on Facebook as we record this. And Ashley's jumping in saying the paddock area was great for her kids of that age. That's the kind of feedback we need. We love that, because we're helping each other plan better vacations. So thanks, Ashley, for that. All right. Kim's got the next question. The title is FastPass Removal with a Package Cancellation. So let's try to figure this one out. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Love the show. I've been listening since 2010, but I've never written in before. Hope you can help me with my question. I haven't found an answer in my online research. I have a family trip planned for the end of August with my husband, my 3-year-old son, and my father. My dad has a separate package reservation for just him booked under his name. Something has come up and he can no longer join us for the trip. We are more than 30 days out, so I know he can just cancel without penalty, but we are within our 60-day FastPass window, and I've already made FastPass reservations for all of us. My question is this. When my father cancels his package reservation, do we need to worry about our combined FastPasses being canceled with it? For instance, I made a FastPass for Frozen Ever After for all of us together. Would this possibly disappear when his package is canceled, or is the Disney system sophisticated enough? Never heard those words in the same sentence. Anyway, but I got no more commentary on that. Just remove him from our fast passes. Also, will we get penalized for our dining reservations made for four people when only three of us show up? What about the dining reservations that required prepayment? Should I call Disney directly to remove him from those? Thanks so much for your help. Kim's in Raleigh, North Carolina. And Kim, unfortunately, sorry, your fast passes are all gone. This is, you know, no dining reservation. You're done. No, just kidding. Go ahead, Pam. Give her the good news. My heart kind of stopped when she said the sophisticated Disney online system after the past months. But go.
No.
I don't want to see Stitch again. I'm having nightmares. Go ahead anyway.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph too. Yeah. I used to love that movie.
So sophisticated and the Disney system do not typically go hand in hand, but in this case, having him, once you remove him and his ticket from your package, the rest of your fast passes should not be impacted at all. And actually, I don't think we've ever really had a case where removing someone from the package has impacted the fast passes. If anything were to happen, go ahead and give Disney a call. They should be able to assist with that. Hey, and here's my other piece of advice. Screenshot everything before you move him. Take the screenshot. Just offer yourself a little bit of protection. And in terms of dining, you won't be penalized when he doesn't show up, except for the things that you mentioned, like the ones that required prepayment or that. Please make sure that you go ahead and cancel him off of those reservations that required prepayment, because otherwise they could charge you for that. But for all the other ones, if it's just a credit card guarantee, as long as someone shows up on that, then you'll be fine.
There's somebody in the chat here saying to screenshot. They're agreeing with you. So I can't tell who that is. Some Steve Baker guy. I don't know. It's some random guy on Facebook.
I'm sure. Yeah, all of our agents, I'm sure, are like, please screenshot everything before you.
And then screenshot the screenshot just so you don't lose anything. You know, it never hurts. You know,
keep it in the same place.
Exactly. Yeah, and then back it up to three places on the cloud. Anyway, let's see. So we have an annual pass dilemma question. It says it's from, Adam and Jenny Gardner, and they're down in Townsville, Australia. So this is awesome. We're going down under for this question. Hi, Mike and ladies. I'm a huge Australian fan of the podcast, and I'm a BOGP lizard in the middle of training for my very first half marathon. I take you all along on my training runs, and you really help me get through those cold, it's winter in Australia right now, dark runs. Can you imagine, Pam? It's we're complaining about the heat. Actually, it's beautiful this week. I can't say anything, but
where we are too.
I'm glad Australia is having the winter, not us. I'll take this for right now. We'll flip-flop in 6 months. My husband and I visited Walt Disney World for the first time in September of 2016, and you were an excellent resource leading up to our trip. Initially, that visit was supposed to be a once-in-a-lifetime, but of course, we know that never happens. That's amazing. That, I mean, from Australia, I could see that being a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but I guess geography doesn't matter. Being that we're from Australia, traveling to Orlando in the U.S. is a big expense, and we're very aware of the ever-increasing Disney pricing and looking to save a few dollars if we can. We're currently preparing a rough budget for a Christmas 2019 trip and we would stay in Orlando for 4 weeks, taking in the Universal and Walt Disney World parks. The longest standard ticket available to us is the 10-day ticket. However, for this trip, we've got a lot more time and we'd like to explore an annual pass. We have friends in Orlando we'll be staying with, and we will brave driving on the wrong side of the road in a hire car. I love hire car. That's awesome. We call it a rental to get around. So the annual pass would save us the parking fees, additional entry tickets, and we get the photo pass for free, which we love, as well as the dining savings and tables in Wonderland. So my first question is this. In a previous episode, I believe you discussed buying an annual pass well in advance of a trip to take advantage of the current pricing and avoid any further price increases. Can my husband and I buy two annual passes online now for our December 2019 trip, or do the unactivated passes have an expiry which would stop us from doing this? And my second question is, so let's get the second one, we'll wrap it up. Uh, is If for some reason our plans were derailed and we had to delay our Christmas 2019 trip, how long would we have to activate these unactivated purchased annual passes? Thanks so much for all you do. You bring such a fresh and positive spin to everything you do. Again, Adam and Jenny down in Australia. All right, so Pam, what's the rule on? Because way back in the day, I remember Len Testa, because he always ran the numbers about things, and he always said, you know, the best thing you can do if you want to, like, get your bang for your buck, buy tickets and stow them away in your underwear drawer, you know, because they're going to go up so fast every year. Inflation doesn't nearly keep up with the price increases of Disney tickets. That's not true anymore now, because I know Magic Your Way tickets have expiration dates now, or, you know, there's you don't lose your value, but you have to use them. So you want to explain that?
Yeah, they do. So it used to be that you could go ahead and hold on to tickets, you know, the Magic Your Way tickets, the multi-day tickets, and then use them at a later date, or even purchase a no expiration option way back in the day. That's not possible. But the good news is, for annual passes, that has not impacted annual passes. As of this date that we're recording, there's nothing to say that that won't happen at that point, at some point in the future. So if you want to purchase your annual pass in advance, you certainly can do that. Just make sure that as you're reading it, go ahead and click that terms and conditions and make sure that it doesn't have some kind of expiration date listed in the terms or conditions, or even call them up, give them a ring, if you will, and go ahead and ask them about that while you're purchasing it. And the good news is that if you're purchasing an annual pass voucher, it does not expire and the clock does not start ticking until you use that for the very first time. The one thing I will caution you about, and this is really something that everyone who is considering purchasing tickets outside a package should consider, is that once you purchase those tickets, they're yours. So if you have some kind of catastrophic event that would mean you wanted to get, you know, your purchase price back or things like that, you absolutely cannot do that. They are non-refundable once purchased. So at times, I wonder if the small savings you might see by purchasing even an annual pass in advance, as opposed to what the price may be with some price increase in the future, may not be kind of overshadowed by the fact that if something were to happen, you wouldn't be able to get your money back at all. So, like, typically when we see any kind of savings on tickets, whether it's through a reseller or buying them in advance, you're really looking at a savings of less than $20 a person. The impact of you're wanting to possibly get that money back in the future just because something major happened, is that worth more than $20 savings to you? Think about that and then make your choice.
Yeah, it's basically one of those things. It's just risk reward. You know, you probably, if you know you're going to go at some point, you're going to be fine. But I mean, if you're not, then you just have to eat. That's a big cost to eat, you know, so
it is
little savings, yeah. Big risk. But, you know, if you're going to go for it, because we're all trying to save money. I get that. I mean, I can imagine what it costs to fly from Australia. All right, next question is from Tom and Susan. Hello, Ricky, Pam, and Mike. Greetings from Columbus, Ohio. We'll be in the world in mid-December, just before Christmas. I can't wait. I have two questions. The first is a silly question. Not to sound like I'm being a bah humbug, because the Christmas holiday is very important to me, but when I am at Disney, I want it to feel and sound like Disney. My concern with going during mid-December is that we'll be in the Christmassy, and it'll be all Christmassy and not enough normal Walt Disney World. For example, when I walk into Future World, I would like to hear the 80s futuristic music that lets me know and feel like I'm in Future World. Same thing with Tomorrowland. I know some of the theme music will get changed for Christmas music, but do some of the areas still sound like normal during the Walt Disney World Christmas season? All right, Pam, so what can you tell me about the music of Walt Disney World? Because it's going to be Christmas. I mean, mid-December. I mean, they've been doing Christmas for 3 months by then.
I know. And what's funny is, since we're always down there for the marathon, about, like, I don't know, we reached some point in January during all the running and stuff like that, where everyone looks at each other as we walk into a park and we're like,
yes,
it's time for the Christmas music to go. Because it's like last year, I swear it was 2 weeks after Christmas and we're still hearing the Christmas music. So anyways, it is. I totally understand what you're saying. Like, I love Christmas and love being down there at that time of the year. But I also understand what you are saying in terms of you want to hear the regular music. And it's you probably are not going to do that. I'm sorry. But the good news is, since you are going before Christmas, you may appreciate that a little bit. It may add another aspect to your trip that you really, really enjoy. Because I will tell you, there are so many Christmas songs in particular that I hear and I associate with Disney. Yep. Because that's where I hear them. So.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's from the Osborne Spectral of Lights loop, you know, or yeah, I hear that in, you know, we're at Liberty Square, you know, it's right. That's how it is.
It's Main Street, USA. It is. La, yeah, la, exactly. La, la, la.
But I totally get that because, I mean, really, when you go to Walt Disney World, so much of the what you'll come home with, because I'm a huge, obviously, I love audio. So when I come home, I can associate so many memories with, you know, that part of the Tomorrowland loop that I remember when I was sitting under the fake palm tree in Tomorrowland, talking to Mallory. You know, that's me. I get it. Yeah. All right. Next up, second, I know you've mentioned that currently you have to wait in line to enter Pandora or have a fast pass. Do you think it'll stay this way in December, or will guests be able to come and go more freely during this time? I would love to see it in the day and night and need to plan accordingly. Thanks again for sharing your knowledge and love for Disney with all of us. Thanks for keeping me company while I run and do housework. I love it. You run and do housework at the same time. That is a skill beyond compare. Now, what do
Comes
you think?
To my house.
Exactly. I know. You just think you're training, you're burning calories and getting stuff done. That is efficiency right there.
Love it.
So let's look into the crystal ball here. December, mid-December. So the crowds haven't gotten crazy yet. That's actually a really good time to go. What do we think Pandora is going to be like then?
I don't think so. We're already at the point where you don't have to line up to get into Pandora anymore. And you don't have to have a fast pass to enter the line. From all accounts, unless there's some odd thing happening, you can walk in and out of Pandora freely. You don't have to queue up to get in. And you don't have to have a fast pass. So that's the good news. Will that change at some point during the year? I guess it could if you have a surge crowd at certain times, but I think it would be a rarity.
Yeah.
And I think it would not be for the length of your trip. Now, the one thing that they have done that I'm so glad to hear is that they did extend the extra magic hours at Animal Kingdom all the way through mid-August. And that's to accommodate the summer crowds and to make sure that guests know, hey, guess what? There's no reason to avoid Disney World this summer because we're keeping it open so that you can come and enjoy it free. Really, throughout the whole summer. And I think that's a huge bonus for guests who are staying on site to take advantage of. So
that's funny because just today, as we're recording, I got an email from Disney, you know, that last minute email that says, hey, we're getting ready for you. You know, make sure you know where to go for Magical Express and, you know, Memory Maker, you know, and all that stuff. And it only said through July 4th on that email. So they need to update that. We need to get.
Yeah, because they released that like last week or the week before.
I know. So I was thinking, I was like, did I? Because I always second guess myself. I'm like, why? Why did I think that? Because I'm getting there on the 4th. I'm like, well, darn it. You know, like it would be my luck.
You should send it to them and be like, really? I thought I had read that you had extended these.
That's right. And I want an upgrade to the Polynesian. You know, because this is causing me grief. This is causing me stress. I stress I'm not going to get to see a banshee. Anyway.
See if that will work for you.
I will. All right. Speaking of the Polynesian, our last question of the day is about the Polynesian. The title of the email is the Polynesian worth the expense for our honeymoon, or should we do a split stay? Hey, Mike, I'm a fairly new listener, but I'm so glad I discovered the Be Our Guest podcast. I loved every episode I've heard so far, but it looks like I have a ton to catch up on. LOL. That's just a catch up on, not catch up on. Don't catch up on it, but catch up on us, Kelly. There you go. Anyway.
Every time you mention catch up, I can only think of
Whispering Canyon. That's right. Here they come. Here they get out.
Anyway, look out.
I know. Seriously, I did the same thing. That's scary. My fiance John and I just got engaged in the Magic Kingdom in early May, and we're now in the process of planning our wedding and honeymoon for September of 2018. Congratulations. We'd like to spend at least part of our honeymoon in Disney World. Having been to the world 3 times in the last 2.5 years, our families can't believe we would want to go again. But we absolutely love it, and we like to try some new things this trip, including staying at different resorts. Don't listen to everybody else. It's your honeymoon. Go as much as you want. You know, do it for the rest of your life. Bye, DVC. So far, we have stayed at Caribbean Beach, Pop Century, and the Contemporary. My dream would be to spend a full week at the Polynesian, but even the prices of the standard rooms are obviously very expensive. My fiance is a little concerned with the cost, especially since we're considering starting our honeymoon in other parts of Orlando that I know you don't discuss. cough universal, cough LOL. That's funny that she put that in there.
We do discuss.
You're like, come on now. We got to talk about the Harry Potter. Anyway, we are now considering doing a split stay to save a little bit of money. I like this idea of a split stay, though, if you're kind of compromising on trying to get things worked out. We're thinking of doing a few days at the Animal Kingdom Lodge and then a few more days at the Polynesian. I know the cost difference isn't what it would be if we stayed at a value to start, but it would still save several hundred dollars in savings. It is our honeymoon, though, and I feel like if we don't splurge now, we may never get to in the future. Is the Polynesian worth the splurge to stay there for a week, or should we split the stay with the Animal Kingdom Lodge or maybe another resort? Thanks so much. You guys are awesome. Kelly's in Greenlawn, New York. All right. So I like the idea of like, well, we got to splurge now because it's our honeymoon. Trust me, life gets way more expensive as soon as you get married. It's ridiculous. You're right. That's a good point because, yeah, once you have kids, it's all, you're talking pop century, baby, for the next 20 years. You know, I'm just saying. And maybe if you get lucky and you get a nice tax refund, you're going to French Quarter. But I'm just saying, that's how it is. So, man, I like the, and I know you're with me. We kind of think the same way on this. Split stays are awesome because one of their goals she mentioned in the email previous is that they want to experience different Walt Disney World resorts. And I love that combination of Animal Kingdom Lodge, Polynesian, because they're both destinations and they're great for honeymooners, I would say, each one of them. So what do you think?
I agree. I love them both so much. Now, the thing about split stay, I think, that makes it maybe easier for people to manage is you have to kind of be organized throughout the time that you're staying there or be prepared to kind of like pack up again. We're people, I know I've mentioned this a few times, but we use packing cubes and they make our unpacking incredibly fast and our repacking very fast, coupled with the fact that, you know, I make my family keep everything very neat throughout the time, and packing and unpacking is not a big deal for us. Yeah, I know.
I remember the first time Mallory came back from your room from seeing Hannah, she's like, their room looks like they just moved in and they've been here for a week. Because our room just looks like a disaster. Look, tornado hit it. But go ahead anyway.
It's true. We do. It just helps me relax, I think. I feel like I'm on vacation. So anyways. But if that's going to be a challenge for you, then reconsider the split stay. Because the packing and unpacking can take part of your time there. But if that's not going to be a big issue for you, then yeah, I love the idea of a split stay. I think Disney hotels are very unique. And I say this all the time. You can stay at a Marriott anywhere. You can stay at a Hyatt anywhere. You can stay at a Hilton anywhere, but you can only stay at a Disney resort when you're at Disney World or Disneyland or one of the other Disney properties. They're very unique. And I love experiencing them all. I mean, we do split stays almost every time. I can't think of a time that we haven't done a split stay in the last, I don't know, 5-10 years. I don't even know what it's like to go somewhere and stay for the whole time at one resort.
I know. We're going to be at three different resorts. Well, two different resorts, but on three reservations this time. So, and a ship.
Right.
So, yeah, there you go. And a boat.
And it's crazy. So I really enjoy it. And I think you couldn't pick two better hotels, especially for a honeymoon. First of all, if you're like me, there is just something about the Polynesian, and it still reminds me a little bit of when the Bradys went to Hawaii, but I love that about that. For me, that's not a bad thing. That is a good thing. So love that. But I also just love the pool area, the dining options, I think, and viewing the fireworks from the beaches. I mean, I just can't say as much, you know, how much I really enjoy the Polynesian. And I think the Animal Kingdom Lodge is one of those quintessential Disney, you know, Disney resorts. Where else can you sit on your balcony and see giraffe or wildebeest or zebra? I mean, I don't think there's anywhere else in the U.S. or no place as nice as the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Again, dining's great. That lobby is fantastic and lots of great dining locations too.
And that's the thing. I don't want you to have any regrets on your honeymoon. And here's what I'm thinking, because, you know, say you do like a pop century Polynesian. Okay, so you're going to really the whole time be looking forward to the Polynesian. But if you do an Animal Kingdom Lodge Polynesian split, I would say it's 50-50 that you might not want to leave the Animal Kingdom Lodge when the time's up, because it is that cool. It's a destination more than almost any of the other Walt Disney World resorts. I think that, you know, your heart's set on the Polynesian. You're looking forward to the Polynesian. But I think once you have, you know, a night at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, you're going to say, I just don't want to leave this place. It's amazing. So really, there's no compromise there at all.
I agree. And schedule pool time at both resorts because they both have great pools.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the listener questions. Thanks for sending those in. Keep sending them in to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll answer those when we get back from the podcast cruise and from Walt Disney World. We love hearing from you guys. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. And with D23 happening very, very soon, Theme Park News is a great free iOS app to keep up with all the latest rumors, the news that's going to break at D23. Lots of changes, I think, coming to Epcot, kind of looking into the crystal ball. Lots to read about. Way better than reading that cereal box as you down your Fruit Loops to get ready for the day. It's a free iOS app. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device. Lots of great apps over there for your Apple device. So check them out today over at virtualmickey.com. Do follow us on the social media. Lots of live stuff coming your way. Lots of pictures from Walt Disney World. At Be Our Guest Mike on Instagram and Twitter. Of course, we got a great Facebook page. We'll be breaking in live here and there with Ricky and Pam and everybody that's down at Walt Disney World and on the cruise with us. Just drop by facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast and give us a like over there. And I just want to thank everybody for supporting the show through your Amazon purchases. You guys are consumers and we love that. So continue to keep it up. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon for all your online purchases. Thank you so much again for using our affiliate link. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday. Let me tell you about Friday's show. We pre-recorded this one. This is one of the shows that's kind of special to me, and I think you guys are really, really going to enjoy it. A couple of weeks ago, we had the fortunate experience that we had our friends, the Gardeners, come down to St. Louis for a weekend. We got to see the best of the town. And the whole weekend, we talked about the upcoming podcast cruise. We talked about our Disney experiences, all the stuff we love. Mallory and Emily at dinner one night were sitting there just talking like they could be travel agents, like they could write books, like they could be bloggers, they could be podcasters about all the stuff that they love about a Disney vacation. And it was really from a different perspective than the adults at the table really thought about things. And I learned a ton hearing from Emily and Mallory go back and forth about what's important to them on a vacation. So on Friday, you're going to hear about Walt Disney World from a kid's point of view. Mallory and Emily take the mics. They do the show. And it's really interesting to hear from like a 9-year-old girl's perspective as to what's important, because I think it could help us all not only plan better vacations if you have kids, but it's also kind of interesting to get in the minds of kids, because even if you don't have children, you know, you're around children all the time on your Walt Disney World vacations. And it's a really, really interesting take. Not a very long show, but I think it's something you'll enjoy on Friday. So I'm really looking forward to your feedback on that one. So we got to sneak that one in as well. So anyway, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday with that show. And of course, we're not going to miss any upcoming episodes. So thank you so much for always downloading the podcast. So for Pam and Ricky, who is at work right now and we're having fun, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work yourself, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.